Hello, welcome to Women's Football Report. I'm your host, Sydney, and today we're going to be covering WSL, FA Cup, NWSL drama, and FIFA ratings from FIFA 22. I just wanted to take a couple of seconds to talk about last week's podcast episode. It wasn't as good as I wanted it to be. There was a lot of background noise, and I think there's probably going to be background noise in this episode because people are in my apartment are kind of loud, and I can't really do anything about that, but I try to record when they're not talking, but that's kind of hard to do. Also, it was, like, rushed because I was supposed to try to record on Sunday, but I ended up recording Monday, and so I didn't talk a lot about stuff I wanted to talk about, so hopefully this week's will be better. And I thought this episode was going to be longer because of FA Cup, WSL matches, and NWSL matches, but as you'll find out, the NWSL is going through a lot right now, so I'll go into that at the end of the episode. But there's also, like, FA Cup fixtures, so I'm going to get started with the FA Cup fixtures because that was first this week. So if you don't know what the FA Cup is, it's also played in the men's game. It's just, like, a competition throughout all the tiers in England soccer. So this is happening while, like, the normal season's going on. It's just played midweek, and same with Champions League. Champions League's normally played midweek while their league games are on the weekends. So this is the quarterfinal of the Women's FA Cup, and there's only one championship side left, and the championship is the Tier 2 of England's women's soccer. And the team that's left is Charlton, and they played Brighton. And I thought maybe Charlton could get the win because Brighton hasn't been that good this season. But Brighton gets a goal in the second half to give them the 1-0 victory in this game. This was good for Brighton because they lost a couple days prior to Aston Villa in the league. So this was good redemption for them. Moving on to the next round in the FA Cup was Man City versus Leicester. Leicester actually already knocked out Man United earlier in the FA Cup, and since then they've struggled with league play, but Man City also has injuries, so I actually didn't know how this was going to go, because there could have been an upset. Man City were actually last year's winners also. So going into the actual game, at halftime it was actually 0-0, so I was kind of getting concerned for Man City to see, like, if they were going to be able to get any offense, but Shaw opened up the scoring in the second half, and then goals just started to pour in. It was good to see Man City back to the winning ways, hoping to have a turnaround for their season. So this was a good result for Man City, and they're back in the semifinal. The next matchup was a North London derby, which is Arsenal versus Tottenham. This was kind of a good preview of what's to come, because these teams are both undefeated in the actual league play. I meant to talk about this last week. I was kind of mad because I said last week was rushed. I forgot to talk about Tobin Heath's debut. She came in as a sub last week, but this was actually her first, like, start. So I just wanted to talk about that. This is her first start for the club. But let's get into the game. Tottenham actually struck early and shocked the Gunners, scoring in the 3rd minute. And Arsenal rallied to get 4 first half goals. Iwabuchi scored, Lata Wubin-Moy scored, Caitlin Ford scored, and Nikita Paris. Caitlin Ford got another goal in the second half. Arsenal's just been killing it. Their attack is so good, and they have so much depth. Like, you have Caitlin Ford, Nikita Paris, Beth Mead, Tobin Heath, Mitoma, Iwabuchi. Like, they have just so much talent up there. Like, it's not a surprise they're scoring, and their defense is so solid, and their academy actually produced, like, so many good defenders with Wubin-Moy and Williamson, so they're just kind of stacked at the moment, and they have a new manager who's been really good, but I'll talk about that later in the league play. Moving on now to the last fixture in the FA Cup. This was Birmingham City versus Chelsea. Erin Cuthbert is back in the squad for Chelsea after her concussion on international duty. That kind of looks scary because she was off on a stretcher, but I don't even think she was actually concussed. I'm not sure. I just know concussion protocols and everything. Chelsea had a chance to get a 1-0 start early on, but Bethany England actually missed the PK. Like, it was a miss. It wasn't a save. She hit it over the goal. And I just wanted to mention, like, Chelsea's lineup kind of wasn't, like, their normal starting lineup. They were kind of resting Sam Kerr and Fran Kirby and kind of a lot of their starters. But they did come in as subs, and I would like to say they were super subs. the duo ship that is Kirby, not Fran Kirby, but like Sam Kerr and Fran Kirby, their duo is called Kirby, like K-E-R-R-B-Y. So I get how that's confusing because you can't really tell what I'm saying. But Sam Kerr got the first one, Fran Kirby then scored, then Fran Kirby got another one, and Harder got a late goal for the header. So they won 4-0. They're back into the semifinals. This is where they got out last year, but I think they're going to make it to the final, and my prediction is Chelsea in the final and Arsenal in the final. But yeah, I'm actually going to get into the semifinal matchups now. It's going to be played on October 30th, and it's going to be Man City versus Chelsea, which actually happened in the FA Cup last year. Man City beat Chelsea, and then Man City went on to win, and Arsenal's playing Brighton, so I think Arsenal's going to beat Brighton easily. They just are so good right now. They haven't lost. I think they're 9-9 right now for their last 9 games played. They have 9 wins. I think Chelsea's going to win. Man City is struggling with their injuries. I know they won 6-0, kind of a blowout. And this joke's for Aurora. It's not a Brazilian blowout, because if you listen to the Olympic episodes, you'll get that joke. But that was for Aurora. But I just think Chelsea's just going to beat them, because Chelsea's been good recently, too. I know they lost to Arsenal, but I think anything can happen this season. Originally, I had the NWSL game slotted in this time slot, but I think I'm just going to go into the WSL, and then I'm going to talk about the NWSL last, because it's kind of a lot, and I just want to get through all the games first before I talk about everything with that. So, moving on to the WSL this week. So, I finished off with Chelsea for the FA Cup, and I'm going to start with Chelsea versus Brighton for the WSL league play. Last year, Brighton actually knocked off Chelsea, handing them their only loss of last season, which was kind of a shock. That game literally frustrated me so much because it, like, ruined, like, their like, long unbeaten record and their home unbeaten record. But, so, Brighton was looking to do it again. Chelsea was looking for revenge from last season. Chelsea get the early start with a Guro Reyton goal in the 9th minute, followed by a Sam Kerr goal. Brighton gets a goal after halftime with Dan Carter scoring. And if you don't know who that is, she used to play for Arsenal. She's a really good player. But Bethany England sends it home for the Blues in the 80th minute. Fran Kirby gets all 3 assists, so she had a hat trick of assists. She's such a good player. She can score goals. She can get assists. She's just the complete midfield player. Moving on to the next game, we have Arsenal versus Aston Villa. This game kind of shocked me at first because going into halftime, it was 0-0, and I was like, will Aston Villa hold Arsenal and stop them from getting points and maybe, like, push them out of first, maybe? But no, the Gunners came out in the second half. Kim Little scored, and it was Kim Little's 150th goal for the Arsenal. And Iwabuchi scored. Katie McCabe scored this crazy goal from so far out. There's a really funny picture of Leah Williamson, like, in shock after that goal. Like, I think everyone was in shock, and Kim Little got another goal in stoppage time to give them the 4-0 victory. Keeps them with their perfect start. Top of the table, looking good, undefeated. I also wanted to talk about their manager. I think it's pronounced like Jonas Edeval. I don't really know if that's correct. Sorry if it's wrong, but you get the point. I was wondering what he was going to do with this team after Joe Montemiro's leaving last year, and like everything Arsenal struggled with last year. It was just a lot of inconsistency, I think, last year, and they had some problems with their games being changed a lot with like weather problems and stuff like that. So because Arsenal got that last Champions League spot like barely last year, they finished in third with Man City coming in second and Chelsea in first, but now Arsenal's looking to be back at the top. You didn't know, Arsenal's been very successful in WSL from, like, the beginning of the league to, like, maybe, like, 2018, I think they won. Maybe 2017 is the last time they won the league. But they've been just super successful, and I think with this group, they can go on a super successful run, and their manager's done a lot for them. So, yeah, that kind of wraps up Arsenal. So I'm going to go up to the next match, which is the other undefeated team from last week, which is Tottenham versus Leicester. As I said, Leicester is still struggling in the league from the championship promotion, because one team goes down and one team goes up, like the promotion and relegation. Tottenham got a goal in the first half in the 30th minute, and then they closed it out with an 88th minute goal. This was a good way to bounce back after their midweek loss to Arsenal in the FA Cup. They're in second now. They were in first last week, but Arsenal, with the goal differential, got 4 goals again today. So they're undefeated as well. They're ahead of Chelsea, which is really impressive, but I said they haven't faced much competition. I think once they start facing competition, like, as I said, they lost to Arsenal already, and I think Chelsea will beat them in the league coming up. But yeah, this is a good start for them now, and we'll see what the season holds for them. Moving on to the upset of the week, which is Man City versus West Ham. I thought Man City was going to kind of get their groove back. A couple of their players actually returned from injury. Like, Caroline Weir was playing. Kira Walsh was back. A couple other players, I think, were in. I just thought they were going to win this. West Ham got a late first half goal. Then they sealed the deal with a stoppage time goal. And, like, a lot of people were saying Man City's manager, Gareth Taylor's to blame because he's had some questionable decisions. Just, I don't know, like, the way he subs and everything. And I kind of saw, I didn't, like, I just thought Man City's always had poor management because they're literally so stacked, especially last year when they had Rose Lavelle. I don't think they utilized her the best. His management hasn't been great. I think maybe it's time for Man City to find a new manager. I know they have injuries, but they're still kind of stacked. I think they still should be able to beat West Ham. And they dropped us 9th, and that's kind of surprising for Man City. They still have talent. They should be still in the top 6 at least with their injury situation. But I understand they're hurt. They're kind of struggling with that. But I think they still could produce more. West Ham actually goes up into 5th with this, and that's really good for them. Moving on to the next game, it's Everton versus Reading. Reading was another team that had 0 wins last season, and that streak continued. Everton got a really early start with a 2nd-minute goal. Then they got a 38-minute goal, and then they got another goal in stoppage time in the first half, and the game was over in the first half. 3-0 win. Everton is now in 8th, and Reading moves to last place with this. Manchester United was looking to bounce back after the thrashing last week to Chelsea. Man United actually has a lot of bright attacking players. Like, I think if they get, like, some more solid players, they can actually do really good. Lea Galton scored in the 27th minute, and Ella Toon scored in the 80th minute. And Ella Toon has just been, like, exceptional for the past, like, 2 years. I'm really looking to see, like, what she does and everything, like, her future. But this 2-0 victory against Birmingham moves Manchester United into 4th, and this is actually where they finished last season. They finished in 4th, right below that Champions League spot. But I think Manchester United, if they can keep winning, I think they could take that 3rd spot. Like, I think the top 3 this year could be Arsenal, Chelsea, Man United, because Man City hasn't been doing that good. And every game in this league counts, like, a lot. And, like, Man City with this poor start with, like, I think they have 1 win and their 4 games played, which isn't very good. And I think that's going to hurt them a lot, especially with, like, Arsenal maybe going undefeated this season, or in Chelsea with 1 loss. So, like, I think that's how it could go. And I don't know really who's going to get relegated this season. Like, Leicester could go back down. Birmingham City has always been down there. Reading's always been down there, kind of. So I think those are the 3. I mean, they're winless now. I think obviously those are going to be 3 hunting for that 1 relegation spot. Like, no one wants, I don't know why I said hunting. Like, they're in the relegation battle. Those are the 3. The games against each other are going to be the most important ones, I think. I wanted to talk a bit about the championship, which I said is the tier 2 side. I just wanted to give you guys, like, the top 3 teams, because obviously one of them gets promoted. And so the top 3 teams right now are Durham, Sheffield United. Liverpool has actually been in the WSL before. I'm not sure about Durham and Sheffield United, but I just know, like, Liverpool probably could be good if they had more funding from their, like, men's side, because their men's team is so good. Like, a lot of times, like, as you can see, like, Arsenal, Chelsea, Man United, like, those are top side clubs in the men's team, and they get a lot of funding, and that's why they're so good in the women's league. And, like, same with, like, Everton and Man City. Like, the big 6 and the men's team usually do really good in the women's league because they can give more funding and stuff. But I don't know. I think Liverpool's management kind of let them down on that. But I would like to see them back in the WSL. So, yeah. Okay, now I'm going to talk about more of like a random topic here. This is FIFA 22 and the women's rankings and everything like that. Because FIFA 22 was just released. God, I hate that I say
Okay, this is me editing this right now, and I literally just called myself out on saying too much, and I realized that, and it literally is driving me insane, and I feel so bad that I'm putting this in the podcast, that, like, I said so much, because I just noticed it. So, next week, I'm going to make sure I do not say that, and I am sorry about this, but continuing with the episode.
This kind of FIFA 22 rankings kind of frustrated me a bit because I just don't think they were accurate. I don't think they, like, tried hard enough. FIFA 22 released their top players a little bit in advance for the women's side, but they didn't release, like, all the players in, like, the overall ranking, so we just figured that out now after FIFA was released. I'm going to go over the overall team ratings first because I don't really think they make sense that much, but the USA is in first with an 86 rating. And I obviously think they should be up there. I'm not sure about first, but they do have a lot of talent. So they're first with an 86 overall rating. And then in second is Germany with an 82 overall rating. And, like, Germany didn't even play at the Olympics this summer. And they had a poor World Cup before. And I really don't know how they're that high. And, like, it's like, did they even look at the women's game that much? Like, I know they have good players, but I don't think they should be in second. Maybe, like, top six, but I think third overall France and fourth overall Netherlands should be above them. France is in third, as I just said, with an 81 overall rating. Netherlands is in fourth with 81 as well, and England is also an 81. I think I didn't make this list. I saw this on Instagram, but, like, obviously it's true. It's just, I think it's, like, differentiated by, like, their overall, like, in their offense, defense, and goalkeeping. So I think maybe, like, they have, like, a better stat in one of the few. But I guess, like, England probably being fifth is good. I think maybe Sweden should be in here some way. With a 79 overall rating, we have Brazil, Sweden, Australia, and Japan. And, like, if you watch the Olympics, you would know that all these teams are not the same caliber. Sweden should be, like, 82 maybe. I think Sweden should be first or second because they had a really good tournament. And Canada is literally in last with a 78, and they just won the Olympics. Obviously, maybe they weren't the best team in the tournament, like, player-wise, but obviously they were the best in the tournament. They fought with grit and everything, so I think they should be higher. So, like, I don't really know how this makes sense. I think it probably could be redone. But moving on to the top players do make sense. Like, it's, like, Miedema, Bronze, Renard, Kerr, Henry, like, players like those who are the top-rated. There's some players that could be in this top-rated player. There could be some players that should deserve to be in, like, the women's top 22, but I'm not really going to go into that. I'm going to go into how the roster is not even updated. I haven't really gone into depth with all the other teams, but the first day I looked at FIFA, I went to go play a game as the U.S. Women's National Team because I really wanted to see, like, the Olympic roster being in there. Like, as I said, I'm a big fan of Christy Mewis. And I was like, oh, she's going to be in this year's FIFA because it's going to be the Olympic rosters. Like, yeah, that makes sense because FIFA's, like, up to date and everything. Like, it should be. And I looked, and, like, the roster is literally basically the same as last year's FIFA, except maybe it has, like, I think it has, like, Sophia Smith and Macario. And, like, Jane Campbell's not even in there. Christy Mewis isn't even in there. And they still have, like, Allie Krieger and Ashlyn Harris. Like, I love their players, but they weren't even, like, active this year. Like, I think maybe they played, like, if they were in there, they weren't, like, for a camp. So I just don't even think it's fair for FIFA to be like, hey, look, we have the women's feature, but, like, it's not even up to date. And I know people are pushing for, like, FIFA to have women's clubs. Like, I would love that, but they can't even get the international rosters right. They can't even do this. Like, they don't even care. I don't know. It just frustrates me. They don't, like, they say they care, but clearly they don't. Like, only a few players, like, get, like, face scans done and stuff like that. I don't know. I don't think it's fair. I don't think it's right. FIFA, do better. I don't know. I'm going to see what I can do about this. Like, I don't know. I know if I email, like, a representative from FIFA, they're not going to do a single thing about it. But I know, I don't think a lot of people, I mean, people obviously in the women's game like to play FIFA because there is a push for, like, those clubs and everything. So maybe I can rally some supporters up and talk about this FIFA thing. So if you want to, if you know me personally and you want to do something about it, just text me or DM me on Instagram or something. But now I'm going to get into the whole drama that is the NWSL, and this might take a little bit, but I'm not going to go too in-depth because it's really confusing if you didn't read the article that this is kind of surrounded on. But I'm going to start kind of from the beginning with this, so here we go. So there was this article by The Athletic. It was like an investigation kind of thing that has it was the current North Carolina coach, Paul Riley, with a whole bunch of sexual misconduct allegations and everything, like things that happened, like former players like coming out about this. I'm not going to go into the details, obviously, because they're kind of disturbing. And if you want to read the article, go ahead. But I think it was like two or three players that came out about this. And this was when Riley was at Portland in like 2015 and stuff like that. And like people were like, Lisa Bard had to know about this. People had to know about this. Like, I think Portland knew something about it because they like fired him, I think. Because I think one of the players actually came to Portland and they had like their own investigation and it led to like no proof or whatever. But I think Portland like parted ways with him. And that's why he went to, I think, the New York Flash, which turned into the North Carolina Courage. I think that's how that worked out. But, like, people were saying, like, Lisa Bard had to know about this. And, like, why did they keep letting him coach? Like, and this is on top of, like, what I said last week. Like, the Richie Burke and the Washington Spirit organization things. Like, what is the NWSL doing? Like, why do they keep trying to cover it up? Like, the players were obviously afraid of coming out because, like, they're going to think the league's going to fold because of things like this. I think they were afraid, like, if they came out, the league was going to do something. And the NWSL Players Association is furious. Players are furious. Like, people were saying, just, like, let the league die. Like, but, like, they paused the games for this weekend, as I was saying, so there was no games happening. And then the day after, like, Lisa Bard had that statement saying, like, they're not going to have any games this weekend because of this. She was actually, like, ousted by the league association or whatever. I don't know exactly who it was. So, but then she, like, had her official resignation or whatever. So her and her legal counsel are now out. Like, I don't know really what the state of the league is in right now. Like, no commissioner. Like, what is happening? Games are off from this weekend. How is the league going to go forward? Like, especially with, like, they kept trying to hide things, like, Christy Holly was fired for calls in another, I think, for Louisville or whatever, and stuff like that. And a lot of players are, like, kind of in shock. Like, everything that's happening is, like, so bad in the NWSL. And, like, will these players go to the WSL? Will they go to the German League? Will they go to the French League? Like, where will they go from here if the NWSL does fold? I think the Player Association is going to take their power back and figure out something, but the NWSL kind of just needs a fresh start right now because this is kind of really bad. Like, obviously, it's really bad. How could they let this happen? Why did they let this happen? It's just not right. As I said earlier, FIFA do better. NWSL needs to do better. They need to protect their players. Players aren't going to want to play here because the league isn't safe, and that's just not good. It's just terrible. I guess that's all I'm going to say really about that. There's just so much in there that it's kind of hard to explain if you're not following it. So sorry if I was a little repetitive in that, but I kind of got mad. And I kind of was mad about the FIFA thing already. But I guess ending on a positive note, the Women's Champions League is going to be in next week's episode because that's happening this week, which is fun to watch. So I don't really have the schedule on me, but you should go watch that this week and watch the WSL. And if the NWSL has games. But yeah, thanks for listening. Again, sorry for any background noises. it's kind of hard to find a quiet place to record. But thank you guys for listening, and I'll see you guys in next week's episode.